ladies, we got a couple of specials tonight. I know the some of the young folks that were home from college have been practicing, and they're going to put a song together, and some of them will start to head back towards school here pretty quick. So we're going to have the special group that's supposed to sing come now, because Naomi, you're playing for this group, right? You're already up there, so we'll have you up and down. So these girls, these ladies, excuse me, are going to come sing for us now, and then we'll carry on with Bible reading and so forth and the remainder of the service. God bless you, ladies. We'll enjoy the song.
Closer than a brother to me. When I'm crossing Jordan, I'll be near to him.
When my friends can't go with me, he'll take over then. He can be depended on, he can be trusted. He's a friend indeed, even when I'm not in need. He's my guiding light in the middle of the darkest night. When I'm all alone, he can be depended on.
When I'm sad, lonely, feeling kind of low, I just look up to Jesus where the heavenly breezes blow. When I see someone falling by the way,
I just stop, take a little time, and this is what I say. He can be depended on, he can be trusted. A friend indeed, even when I'm not in need. He's my guiding light in the middle of the darkest night. When I'm all alone, he can be depended on. He can be depended on. He can be trusted. He's a friend indeed, even when I'm not in need. He's my guiding light in the middle of the darkest night. I'm all alone, he can be depended on. When I'm all alone, he can be depended on.
That's a blessing. You enjoyed that. Very good. All right, let's go in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, two verses for scripture reading tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. The message this morning, I suppose you could call it theological in character and very practical too, I trust. Tonight it will be very, very pastoral and practical. There won't be a whole lot of theology in the message tonight, but allow me just to be pastoral for a bit in the message tonight. Let's stand together, please. And after we pray, have to read the scripture and pray, then we'll have this other group sing for us, and appreciate the college students being home. Not all of these are college students, but many are, and we've enjoyed having them here on weekends this summer. Let's read together. I'm going to read 12. You join me on verse 13. So we're reading chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, where Paul wrote, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you are a God who can be depended on, as the song was just sung. Thank you for all the music tonight. Thank you for the gospel and for allowing us and helping us to have the opportunity to believe in the gospel and to be saved. Lord, thank you for the other music that's blessed our heart and the fellowship of the saints here tonight in this room. I pray that you'll bless this next special and those that sing it, and bless our hearts as we listen. And then, Lord, as we come to some very practical, maybe pastoral type message, I pray that you'll grant me your help. We'll thank you and look forward to your blessings in Jesus' name and amen. God bless you.
Beside you,
What have I except your love? Where is home if not for heaven, there to dwell above? Who are you if not my Savior? Who am I if not your own? What are you if not my shelter, Christ my rock and cornerstone? Jesus, Savior, blessed friend, I will love you without end.
Who will share my earthly sorrow? Who will heal my broken heart? Who will hold my life together when it seems to fall apart? When the fears are far too many and the joy is too few, who will comfort and defend me? Only you, only you.
Jesus, Savior, dearest friend, I will trust you without end.
Where, O Lord, when life is over, can I go but home to you?
What have I except the promise? Where you are, I shall be too.
When at last I reach the comfort of that bright celestial place,
there with joy will I behold you, gaze upon your glorious face.
Jesus, Savior, heavenly friend, I will praise you without
today. We had both those specials, and I did not know what either group was singing. A little different style, both of them, and you ought to be able to enjoy more than one style or a variety of good Christian music. One of these Sunday nights in the near future, I'm going to blow the socks off a lot of you. I'm going to show you some video clips. I don't want to turn this into a media-friendly church. I'm going to get heavy into video clips and that kind of thing, but I am going to show you some video clips from some former Independent Baptist churches and their current music programs. You will do one or two. You'll probably weep like I did for a little bit, and then you'll get mad, and then your resolve should be stiffened. But a church gets on the slippery slope to compromise and destruction by means of music faster than any other vehicle. Both the songs that we heard tonight were very safe. Very safe music. Well, I like something a little more up-tempo. Play it in your car. That's fine. I like stuff up-tempo too. But, brother, for a church, you can't be too careful. Okay? Now, you can get dead. You can get dead, and I don't want that. I like safe music for church. And we have songs more up-tempo. Our choir, if you go through our repertoire of songs in our choir, it's very varied, extremely varied. And, I'm telling you, folks, the winds of change, no. Tsunamis of change. Where at Baptist pastor gatherings, a man is applauded and commended for his fastest growing church in a certain state out east, and they have rap music, and an Independent Baptist are slapped by an Independent Baptist pastor. You know, why is he growing and we're not? Well, you know, if we put rap music on, we probably draw a crowd here too. I'm not interested in a crowd, I'm interested in a church. A church. So I'm going to do it on a Sunday night here. You're going to shake your head. You will not believe it. You will not believe it. But you will say, I couldn't believe it. And the church that was once pastored by J. Frank Norris and G.B. Vick. See what happened there and what they're having now in their services. It's just, it's unbelievable. So I'm going to bring a message along those lines. But not tonight. Tonight, oh, what a happy topic. School days, amen. School days. We usually have a message like this somewhere along the lines of the beginning of school. And it's starting this coming Wednesday for us and a lot of you folks and so forth. So here we go. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the good music that speaks to the soul and the spirit and the heart. And Lord, thank you for the people in this church with the instruments and with the music who work regularly, consistently, prayerfully to develop a good music program and bring something to the platform that will bless us and help us and be within what's safe for us as a church. And dear Lord, I pray that you'll help us to have a great school year, not only here at this academy, but Lord, for every young person enrolled in whatever school they're in, may it be a great school year. May you help me tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. And I said, within about 3 weeks, most, if not all, of the elementary kids, the teenagers, and many young adults, college-age young adults, will be involved in some school setting, some school year. Primarily, this educational process will be carried out either in a church, a private church school, a home school, or a public school setting. I understand the conventional approach to school for most young people. Young kids really look forward to it. And about 3 weeks into the summer, they're ready to go back to school and wondering when the school is going to come and so forth and so on, okay? Then they hit the age where, you know, school seems to interfere with their idea of fun. And for many years there, for quite a stretch, maybe through the mid-elementary, through the junior high years, if they're not careful, school is just a big interference for the fun that I want to have and could have if I didn't have to sit in a classroom or behind a desk with an open book or with this test in front of me. Usually, and I say usually, not always, usually by about 10th or 11th grade, they are ready to get with the program and they're thinking about graduating and being ready to move ahead, you know, going to the next step, some kind of secondary educational process. And so they kind of settle into, boy, you know, this is important and I need to get this and I'm ready to study and make good grades. And that's a blessed thing to see a young person mature to that place in their life. It's a sad thing when they're 11th and 12th grade and they haven't matured to that place. School is still interference with the fun that they want to have. Now, I would hope, I think kids go through that to some degree. I believe all of our children did. There might have been some of the six that liked school better than others, but I think by the time they hit their 11th and 12th grade year, the five that have already gone past that age, pretty well settled into, hey, this is important, I need to get this. And I think your children have just as well done the same thing. I would hope that the parents of school-age children would never talk down the privilege and opportunity that school provides for our kids. And I'm talking about school in general. I'm talking about the opportunity to learn. To learn. I hope parents, well, you know, bless God, I went to school, it didn't help me at all. I hope you're never guilty of making some kind of dumb statement like that. Okay, pretty obvious too, amen. And so I would hope that you're not like that. You know, I wonder sometimes if stuff like that doesn't happen. So anything with school, that, I mean, talk as far as the educational process, man, always be upbeat, encouraging, challenging, and pushing the kids. I didn't go to Daniel chapter 1 because I don't want to monotonously use that scripture, but brother, when Nebuchadnezzar got ready to get some boys in the palace, he looked for some boys who had been educated. He said, bring me some boys who are cunning in science and knowledge, have the ability to stand in the king's palace, can communicate, talk, be sensible. And so never talk down that opportunity. Now, Paul wrote two letters to Timothy, that's his son in the faith. In both of these letters, he mentioned the subject of learning, maybe not directly, but indirectly. You see it here in verse number 12. Now, let me explain Timothy's situation. He is the pastor of the church in Ephesus. He is a young pastor. Okay, so Paul has been in prison, and he got released from prison, and he made a beeline to see Timothy and visit with him. And Timothy was having some struggles. I think he had some health problems, and I think he had some problems with some older church members. He's a young pastor. And so Paul wrote back to him after his visit, and he said in verse 12, Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. Don't give people a reason to look down on your youth. Every year I teach homiletics at Providence, and in I think the first semester every year I teach a lecture on overcoming your youth. Overcoming your youth. One of the hindrances to young men coming out of Bible college in the pulpit is their youth. If they're not careful, it can be used to a disadvantage for them. And so we talk about that. And that's what Paul told Timothy here. Don't give any man a reason to look down on you just because you're young, Timothy. You be a mature young person. You be a mature young man. And be an example of the believers. And I've told you this before. He didn't say you have to be the best in all of these things. He said you have to be an example. That takes a lot of pressure off. You got to be the best. That's a great big world out there. There's a lot of really good preachers. To be the best in any one of these specific areas would put a lot of pressure on a guy. He doesn't have to be the best, but he has to be an example of all of these areas right here. And then he said in verse number 13, till I come. So Paul purposed to see Timothy face to face. Now, why is that? Well, face to face, Paul could teach Timothy. Face to face, Paul could instruct Timothy. Face to face, Paul could counsel him. Paul could help him. Paul could challenge him. Paul could instruct him, okay, with his problems. But until that time, now we're talking about no telephones, so that no text messaging, no chat rooms, no instant messaging capabilities. So Paul said, until I can come and sit down with you face to face, look at what he said, till I come, give attendance to reading. Until the time, Timothy, that I can come and sit down with you face to face, give some priority to reading. Now, I believe this could be the public reading of the Bible in the synagogues, which there were still in existence in this day. In the synagogues on the Sabbath day, they would read from the law, and they would read from Moses, which is the law. They would read from the Psalms, and they would read from the prophets. And then sometimes they would invite guests who had dropped into the synagogue. Brother, do you have a word of exhortation for us? That happened to Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. They went into a synagogue, I think in one of the towns on that first missionary journey. And they read the law and the prophets, and then the synagogue leaders looked at Paul and Barnabas and said, brethren, do you have any word for us, word of exhortation? And Paul stood up and began to preach. Now, Timothy's not a rabbi of a Jewish synagogue. He's a pastor of a New Testament church. But more than likely, in those days, they had the public reading of the Bible in those churches like they did the synagogues. And so this could be public Bible reading. It could be the private reading of the Bible, but I believe it also could be a reference to other books besides the Bible. And the reason I say that is because of what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look over there, just a few pages in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he's writing to Timothy again. This time he's writing from prison. You see that in verse number 9. I'm sorry, you don't see that in verse number 9. But he's writing in prison, and he says in verse number 9 to Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. So Timothy, I want you to work hard to come see me and try to do it quickly, okay? And then he says in verse 13, when you come, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. There's a distinction here. He asks for a cloak. Then he asks for books. And then he asks for the parchments. And he says, especially the parchments. Now, the cloak is obvious. That's something for his body. The parchments is obvious. The scripture was penned on parchment in this day. And he said, especially the parchments. Don't forget the coat. And don't forget the books, but especially don't forget the parchments. Paul wanted scripture to read while he was in prison. But he also said the books and the books. Now, some people believe that these were the books that Paul wrote, maybe the notes that he took as he studied the scriptures and so forth. But I believe when you put these two references together, I believe Paul put an emphasis on reading to the young preacher boy Timothy. It's good for you to read. He wanted something for his body, that was his coat. He wanted something for his spirit, that was the parchments. And he wanted something for his soul, which is his mind, his learning. And that was the books. And so he said, Timothy, when you come, bring me my books. Now, people, to be sure, the best and most needful book to read is the Bible. That goes without saying. In fact, most of the schools started in colonial New England we're started for one of two reasons. Number one, to train men for the ministry. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, we're all started to train men for the ministry. The second reason they were started in colonial New England was for the purpose of literacy, so people could read the Bible. You say, well, boy, that's a fundamental Baptist perspective. That's Wikipedia. That's any research you want to do on it. Go back and research the schools, the founding of schools in the United States of America. Go back and research what it says about the colonial day schools in New England. They were founded either to train men for the ministry or for the purpose of literacy so people could read the Bible. It's sad that what was once, what was begun to encourage Bible reading now has evolved into institutions that laugh at the Bible and discourage the reading of the Word of God. That's sad. Sad. School is important. School is important. Reading the Bible is the best and most needful book to read. But school is important, and all parents should work with their kids to impress on them the importance of learning. Learning. Now, I want to be a little pastoral tonight in the message, and I think I can do that rightly. And I want to say a word to all three groups. I said that all the kids in this church, I'm talking about elementary kids, and teenage kids, and even the college-age kids, will either be probably in either one of three settings, public school, church school, or home school, within the next 3 weeks. I want to address all three groups tonight. Number one, I want to talk to those who will be enrolled in the public school. Over the years, different members here of Faith Baptist Church have decided that public education is what they wanted for their children. They kept their kids in public school. I have never come across from the pulpit with this attitude that because you don't put kids in our school, you don't support the church. I've never come across with that attitude. I don't believe that. Now, if I don't come across with that attitude, nobody else should. Not because I'm such a hotshot, but I am kind of the under-shepherd of this church. And if I'm going to have the attitude that, you know what, it's your choice what you do with your children before God, if you want to keep them in the public school, I'm not going to question your support of Faith Baptist Church if you have your children in the public school. I've never done that, and I won't. Neither do I believe that kids cannot get an education in public school. I believe you've got to want it. And I believe if you really want it, there's probably some teachers that will help you get it. And if you don't want it, that's okay too. We won't push you. I believe they can learn the core subjects of math and English. But hear me, parents, I believe there is a danger in the subjects of science and social studies and history. And the danger is in the curriculum. I really believe it with all my heart. It is a curriculum that does not encourage belief in the Bible. It's a curriculum that does not support biblical truth. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I believe this is a real dangerous thing about public education. A curriculum that is agenda-based, that promotes secular humanism, which was declared, I think twice, by the Supreme Court to be a religion. And the Humanist Manifestos 1 and 2 were by and large the foundation on which a lot of the public school curriculums are written. When it comes to some of those, I'm not talking about math and English. You know what? It's hard to mess up concepts like math and English. Okay? It's hard to mess up parts of speech. But when you get into the areas of history and science and social studies, you are opening a Pandora's box for people to use curriculums written by people who would spit on Jesus Christ if they could. And I just want to warn you. I just warned you. I think you probably know that already. But I just want to warn you about that. I believe there is a danger in the curriculum at the public schools. And so I'll say something about that in just a minute. I also believe that the peer pressure is much more intense. and that it takes a very principled and dedicated young person to stay away from evil and damaging influences. But I do want to say this. I believe it can be done. Now, I've met people who went to the public school. I met one 2 weeks ago who goes to the public school out somewhere out in northwestern Illinois. I forget which public school. Not Geneseo. Go somewhere else. And after last year's youth camp, 2009 youth camp, he got so burdened for his fellow students and classmates in the public school. He's a fantastic athlete. He got so burdened, he went to the youth pastor and he said, "Brother Joel, I've talked to the people at the school. They would allow us to have a brief Bible study before school begins in one of the classrooms on some morning during the week. Would you come and teach it? I'll try to get some of my friends to come." I say amen to that. It takes a very dedicated and principled young person to have that kind of influence rather than being influenced. Now look, I went to public high school in the 1970s. I know what public high school was like when I went there. And I don't think it's improved. When I went to public high school, we didn't have metal detectors. We didn't have police walk in the hallway. Or police cars parked outside. Unless there was a fight at a basketball game or something like that. But they can't. But not for the school day. I'm just simply saying, friend, that it is, I think the peer pressure is much more intense. I was out there in Geneseo, and I preached that, in Dixon, I told you about it last week, and I preached that three days of a teen camp for Pastor Coburnot's teenagers. And I was talking to one of them on, I watched the boys play basketball, played a little bit myself with them. Excuse me. I attempted to play a little basketball with those boys, but I can't run up down the court like they do anymore. So, you know, I'm at the other end waiting for the ball to come back to my end, you know. So, but boy, they were some good athletes. They got a good team. I think we didn't play them at Grace, did we? Did we play them last year? Did they beat us? I didn't think we played them. I don't thought they did. But they went like 21-2. They won two tournaments, and they finished runner-up in another tournament. They had these T-shirts, you know, that said, such-such tournament champion, such-such tournament champion, such-and-such champion runner-up. I gave them a hard time in the service. I said, "Come up here, man. Turn around. Look at this. Read his shirt. Champion runner-up. How do you have a champion runner-up? Second place is just first loser. Amen. That's all it is. So, come on. Now, you're stretching it. I can live with the championships, but not these champion runner-up championships." So anyway, this one guy, Caleb, he's a senior in his senior homeschool this year. And so on Thursday, they had a bowling activity in Dixon, and I went along for a little bit and kind of hung out with the teenagers there. And then this Caleb guy that saw him play basketball, he's starting point guard, you probably would know him if you saw him, if I described him, but he said, "Hey, Brother Angel, you want to bowl with us?" And I said, "Sure." So I was bowling with them. And this guy, here's this athlete, and he throws a bowling ball like this. So I didn't say anything, you know. So, next frame, he gets up there, you know. And I couldn't help it. I said, "Why do you throw the ball like that? Don't you throw the ball?" He said, "I don't know, Brother Angel." He said, "I don't know." He said, "If I throw it the right way, it goes in the gutter every time." He said, "I don't know if it's because of pitching baseball or what." And I said, "Oh, you played baseball." And that's all I said. He said, "Yes, sir, I did. I played baseball all the way in our little league through eighth grade, and I can't go any higher than the eighth grade unless I go to the public high school." He said, "I went in, did that." He said, "But I would go with those boys on those long bus trips," and he said, "I got so sick of what they were talking about." He said, "I don't want to be a part of that." He gave it up and walked away. I admire that. I think that's knowing what you can handle. I think that's knowing what you can handle. Now, I didn't go seeking for that. I'm not on a witch hunt. That came to me. That came to me out of the blue. Just came to me. Thought I'd pass it on. I'm not going to belittle anybody for going to the public school, and you're loved in this church, and you're welcome in this church. And anybody that makes you feel like you're less than is wrong, brother. I'll tell you what, but I'm going to tell you, there are some dangers that you need to be aware of. Now, having said all that, parents, if you choose the public school route, let me give you some words. Involvement. You've got to be involved in those kids' education all the time. You've got to be looking at what those books are that they're sending home that they're having your kids read. I remember Jack Howell saying years ago when his kids were in the public school, there was no Christian schools back then. They went to the public school, and they had one of his daughters bring home this book, and he said, let me see that book. And he began to open up the book and read it, and it was filthy. And he went down to the school district, and he threw a fit to the principal. He threw a fit. He said, my daughter's not reading that. And they said, oh, Pastor Hiles, you're getting all excited over such a little thing. There's worse than that on the bathroom walls. And he said, yes, and when you make the bathroom walls required reading, I'll be back down here again. I thought that was a pretty good report, a pretty good answer. Involvement. It takes involvement. You got to be involved. What are they reading? What are the books saying? Take a look at the curriculum. Be concerned. Communication. Talk to your kids. What are you hearing? What are you talking about? Who are your friends? Courage. Have the courage to face and have a confrontation with a teacher or a principal if necessary. Sensitivity. Be sensitive to the spirit of your children. Prayer. Cover them with prayer. And kids, if you're going to go to the public school, take a stand. Man, pray before you eat your meal. Encourage your friends to come to church. Be a light for Christ. Okay? Be a light for Christ. Go out and do it. Be a light for Jesus Christ, like that fellow out there. So I just wanted to say those. I'm just being pastoral tonight. Allow me that privilege, okay, since I've been here 20 years. I don't think I have to prove my love for you. I love everybody in this church. I love you enough to be honest with you from the pulpit. Okay? Number two, let's talk to the homeschool parents tonight. The homeschool parents tonight. I can say the same thing to the homeschool parents that I said to those in public school. I never questioned your support of Faith Baptist Church because you homeschool and don't use the academy. Never have questioned that. I have no problem with homeschooling as long as it doesn't digress into home churching. Then I got real problems. Real problems. Now, not all the time, but a portion of the time that homeschooling is chosen, a portion of the time the decision is based on finances. We cannot afford the Christian school. And we don't want to put them in a public school. So we'll just teach them at home. Now look, finances may play a part in your decision, but before you just say, we'll just teach them at home, you better count the cost. And make sure it is the right decision for your kids. Education, the educating kids takes a ton of structure and discipline. A ton of structure and discipline. I mean a bunch. And it does require the ability to teach, if you're going to teach. Now you can, the video schools are out there and the satellite schools are out there and that's a way I suppose you could do it. But if you're going to do the teaching, Dad and Mom, it requires the ability to teach. Now, in the years that I've been as a pastor, we've had some great examples of home education in this church. But folks, you understand that many of these home educators have been trained in teaching and have teaching degrees. Do you understand that? They took courses on how to teach elementary math, or teaching math in the Christian school, or teaching English in the Christian school, or teaching history in the Christian school. They took classes on tests and weights and measurements, and they got a degree in education. I'm not saying you got to have a rolled up diploma in your hand to have the ability to teach, but be honest with yourself. Because reading a book is not teaching. It's quiet in here, but it's okay. I'm not the least bit nervous. I haven't been all night. Looking forward to the fellowship in just a little bit. Because I know my heart tonight. I'm on no agenda. I got no bitterness. I'm not trying to run anybody's business. I'm just trying to be pastoral, like I think God wants me to be. I'm free as a bird tonight. Just count it out. Face the fact. Look at yourself in the mirror. Sit down and have a good talk with husband and wife and say, can we do this? You can't just say, we don't have enough money, so shucks, we'll just teach them at home. You get one chance to educate your kids. One. One chance. Okay? Now don't, so be very careful. I'm not discouraging it. I'm trying to be realistic about it. Be realistic about it. There are some colleges that have done surveys, and the homeschool students who go to their college do very well. Do very well. Other places where homeschool students have matriculated into the high school, and they've been behind. You don't want that. So you gotta be factual, be realistic with yourself, and don't, and listen, as for the homeschool folks as well, don't make the assumption that your kids will automatically be spiritual because they're taught at home. You know, I came to VBS. What was it? Two nights. One night. Two nights. And I watched some of our homeschool elementary kids sit through the program at the VBS, never once opened their mouth to sing or participate in the program. That was sad. And these kids that come in on these buses just sing at the top of their lungs, having a good time. And I watched these kids just kind of sit through and just be bored with the whole thing. I'm not getting on you tonight. I'm just talking to you. Be careful. Kids are kids. Kids are kids, whether they're taught at home or the public school or the church school, and they all need guidance, and they all need direction, and they all need prayer, and they all need love, and they all need discipline, and they don't just naturally be, they're not just naturally going to be spiritual. Anywhere. So if you're going to homeschool, do it. Do it right. Do it consistently. Do it structured. And don't be too proud to say, if it gets to the place where you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, look, I'm overwhelmed. Don't be too proud. It's not an admission of failure. It's an admission of reality. You don't want to do it half-heartedly for 2 to 3 years and then, man, rush your kids into another educational setting only to find out that they're behind. That's good, Brother Angel. I'm just talking to you tonight. Just talking. That's all I'm doing. Just sharing with you. I'm just like if we were sitting down in the office talking. And we've had some wonderful examples of home education. We've seen some kids come out of our home schools in this church and go on to just do very well in Bible college and other colleges. Very well. But you better really take a long look. Okay? We're talking about the education of our children. Okay, so that's public school, church, homeschool. Let me talk about church school for just a few more minutes. Then we'll go over and have our fellowship time. Church school. Church school does not mean, oh boy, it's church. Everybody is saved. Everybody's a saint. I know the principle, folks. No problems, no bad influences, no bad words, no rock music. It's church school. I wish that were true. I wish that were true. Man moved his family here some years ago. One of the reasons he told me, standing in my garage questioning me about the church and everything, man moved his family. He said, well, one of the reasons I'm going to come is because of the school. We need to get our children school. And it panicked. I told him. I said, brother, if you think because it says Baptist Academy that it's a panacea and utopia for kids and there's no evil influence, you're sadly mistaken. Sadly mistaken. Wherever you have kids, you have problems. Wherever you have kids, you have a bad influence or two. Or three or four. That's true about Faith Baptist Academy. It's always been that way. Some years have been better than others. Some years we've had less trouble than others. I can't think of a trouble-free year. I really can't. So you can't just assume, okay, it's church school, so my worries are over. No, not the case. Also, you can't think to yourself that, okay, it's church school, the academics are not as strenuous. That's usually not the case. Usually the academics are more strenuous. Now, for some reason, all of a sudden, there's just this concern. I don't think it's with each other, but concern that has been voiced to me about diplomas from Faith Baptist academies and schools like ours not being recognized at some state universities because we're not accredited. You know, Pensacola Christian College is not accredited, which is one of the flagship schools, I guess, if you want to call it that, that would be considered institution of strong academics, preparing people, preparing kids to go into the non-ministerial world. Not accredited. I said it's not accredited. We're all of a sudden, you know, this idea that, boy, we're really missing it because we're not accredited. Because a atheistic, God-denying agency, we haven't allowed them to put their stamp of approval on a church ministry? Like what Jack Hiles said. He said, having the state accredit a Christian academy is like the Little League putting their stamp of approval on Mickey Mantle. I had Sarah call around. I think Teresa called earlier this year. Different schools. I think I asked you to call. And I don't know if they gave the same answer. Sarah called the University of Illinois. No, you can't get into the University of Illinois. They will not accept a non-accredited diploma. That's what they told Sarah. KCC will. Chris Heisel's gone to KCC. He's done excellent down there. Excellent. He was a good student here. He was not, I would say, in the upper tier of the class. Good, solid student. He's done very well in KCC. Any student who comes here and applies themselves academically will do very well here and beyond. Caitlin graduates magna cum laude. Kids who went from our academy to Pensacola Christian College did very well. One telling their parents, the best thing I got at Faith Baptist Academy was my education. That's not coming from Hiles Anderson student or Providence or Oklahoma. That's coming from somebody who went to PCC where the academics are a little stronger. Said the best thing I got out of Faith Baptist Academy was my education. I don't know of any of our kids who've gone on to any kind of college that had to take bonehead English and bonehead math. Not that I know. That's a funny name, isn't it? I know some ACT scores from some of the kids that came out of our school. They're very strong. Very strong. So I don't know all of a sudden where this concern. Because we're not accredited, or we're not this or that, and we're not preparing our kids for the academic world. If a kid comes to this school and applies himself or herself and learns, they don't do the homework, they don't turn in the assignments, and they don't study for the tests, and they sit through the class and sleep, you know what? They're probably not going to get an education. Anywhere. But if they'll sit there with a pen or a pencil and an open notebook and they'll have their textbook and they'll pay attention, it may not always be exciting, but they can learn. And kids coming out of this school that are scoring 26 and 28 on the ACT test, colleges are not in the business of turning those kind of scores down. Did you hear what I said? Colleges are not in the habit of turning down people who score 26 and 28 on ACT tests. I don't know where this, I don't know, maybe it's just a panic, you know, man, life, what are we going to do? I don't know. Are we a utopian? No, we need to make some strides. We need to make some strides. I wrote that little paragraph in the bulletin this morning. The purpose of school is education, not recreation. Finals, not friends. That's the purpose of school. And I don't want us to miss that. You know, just because we have a Bible class, we can slack off on the math and the science. No. We do more. And I'll talk to the teachers about that tomorrow. We need to do more. Because we teach Bible. Because we believe we have a God in heaven who deserves our very best. Man, let's strengthen our math class. Let's strengthen our English class. Let's strengthen our history classes. By the way, it's not revisionist history. It's history. Where you talk about men like George Washington and others. We need some help in the computer area. We live in that world. That's the world our kids are graduating into. Everything is done by computer. We need some help with that. And Brother Tom Griffey's been a big help, and we've talked to him, and I think he will continue to be a big help to try to help us make some strides, even down into the elementary school. Getting them started on how to use computers and understanding more than just the typing, the keypad, understanding how a computer works, an operating system, things that I really couldn't talk about because I'm in bonehead computer class. That's right. We need to make some strides. We're not everything we ought to be. But any kid that's applied themselves over the years here has learned. One of the best notes I ever got in my life from a school student, from a young man who transferred into our school from the public school. He just wrote a simple note and he just said, "Pastor, the one reason I'm thankful," and he's like in 9th or 10th grade now, he writes this note and he says, "Pastor, the one reason I'm glad that I came to Faith Baptist Academy is because now I can read." Somebody took time, Dorothy Lewis, took time to come in with no pay. Like Cindy Council did last year, like several folks have done. Try to help the kids who need a little boost. Church has my promise. I know one area, you heard me say earlier that music is the one area where, boy, you can really start down the slippery slope to compromise and end up in a bad, bad situation quick. Another one is a school. A lot of churches have been undermined, the foundation of the church undermined by a school that went liberal. A school that compromised. It only stands to reason that a church school would emphasize church. It only stands to reason that a church school would expect the students in the school to come to church. I don't plan to change that. Our sports program, I think this year they added a flag football game. Tom Bryant called from Lincoln and he wants to play flag football, and we still got the flags that you guys played with, you at Faith Christian School back in the dark ages. Amen. We still got those flags, and so we're going to play a flag football game or two this year. What's the matter? What did I say? That's right. Yeah, we are going to play a couple of we're going to play the name of the church skips my mind. Park Meadows, Lincoln. Park Meadows Baptist Academy in flag football, home and away. I don't know. It would just be fun to see what happens. Amen. So, but it's going to stay about the same. Add the flag football, the basketball, volleyball. But, you know, we're not a panacea. I never promised that to anybody. Put your kids in the school, you have no trouble. That never has come out of my mouth. It will not come out of my mouth. We don't have the honors. Our kids don't get selected for the National Honor Society, although there's a handful of those that could have easily snapped down those awards had we been an accredited school. I said they could have easily snapped down the awards had we been an accredited school. They met all the criteria for honor. I don't think they felt like they wasted their years here. All I got was a pen. That's all you got? Pen? If you won't honor, maybe you won't get that at Faith Baptist Academy. Maybe the National Honor Society is not going to recognize you. Who's who, whatever. But if you want an education, I think you can get that. That kind of talk hurts me for our teachers. Pour their hearts into a lesson. Because we're not accredited, we don't have all the access to the awards and the honors that the public schools, the other schools, and Christian schools that are accredited have. You know, we're not involved in all that. Is that what you really want? You're looking for honor? You want honor? How about just getting an education? Go and do something with your life. I wish I had done better in school. I wish I could stand in this pulpit tonight and look at every young person, man, woman, every young man, every young woman, every elementary school boy or girl, look at you in the eye and say, you know, when I was your age in school, I did this academically and I did this and I applied myself and I wish I could do that. I can't. I regret that my kids come home sometimes with a textbook and, Dad, can you help me with this problem? And I can't. But I can't go back and live it over. To be honest. But every kid, every college-age person, every high school-age person, every elementary school person in this room has the opportunity this year to jump into a school setting in just a few days, public, home, or church, and just jump in and be a sponge and learn all you can for the glory of God. And don't think it's a bore and a waste of time. It's an opportunity that you will be glad you took advantage of someday. Amen? Amen. School days are upon us. I can hear the bells ringing and the locker door slamming already. I can see the little boys waiting outside the principal's office with the fear of God in their hearts. Don't go home offended tonight. Don't go home offended tonight. I love you. I love you enough to share my heart, and I believe what I believe is just a honest to God reality. No matter where you're going to be in school, you're going to have the love of this pastor and the encouragement of this pastor. I just want you to take a good look at it. Let's have a great school year for all these kids. Amen? It's exciting. All right, let's stand together, please. Thank you for listening tonight. Dear Lord, would you bless our school year, not only here at the academy, but in every setting somewhere where there's a textbook and a teacher or standing and teaching students. I pray that you'll please speak to their hearts, Lord, and help the boys and the girls and the young men and young women to apply themselves and learn and do well. And God, just help us to do our best for the glory of God. For the glory of God. And give us a great year. Bless these young people as they go off someday to a postgraduate school or secondary education, Lord, out in the college world. Maybe some even get a master's degree and so forth. Help us all, Lord, to apply our hearts to learning. And even those of us adults who are beyond the education years of a school setting, help us to read and learn and be willing to be taught. Thank you for it. Protect our kiddos, encourage them, bless them, strengthen them, help them, I pray, in Jesus' name.